Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Happy Saturday and welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm Josh Clark, the Dallas correspondent at NHL.com, joined as always by my co-host Kenneth Nash, a side expert at NolanWrighton.com. And Kenneth, it is now officially 12:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. I'm sitting up here at the Fox Sports Southwest studio. Just got done wrapping up Stars Live a couple minutes ago. And now here you and I sit. You just got home recently. And, you know, now we have a chance to record. And we're in an interesting situation here because we have a hockey game coming up in just a couple hours, Kenneth, that we need to talk about. Game 5 between the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning. Stanley Cup final game, Game 5, a very pivotal game this series, you know, as it continues to extend out. But at the same time, obviously, this is a weird situation, weird circumstance, having a back-to-back in an NHL Stanley Cup final game or Stanley Cup final series for the first time since 2009. But you don't really want to talk about Game 5 right now, Kenneth, because there's so much to talk about, so much to dig into in Game 4 that just happened a couple minutes ago between the Dallas Stars and Tampa Bay Lightning. Stars dropping a 5-4 overtime loss to the Lightning in Game 4 on Friday night up at Rogers Place in Edmonton. And Kenneth, you know, so often through the first 133 episodes, we've sugarcoated a lot of games in good ways and in bad ways. In crushing defeats or in frustrating defeats and also in exhilarating wins and victories. But there's no sugarcoating what just happened on Friday night, Kenneth. This was, without a doubt, a gut punch for the Dallas Stars as they fall into a 3-1 series deficit hole and are now going to have to win out if they have any hope of saving their season and winning that Stanley Cup. This was a tough one to swallow on Friday night in Edmonton.
Yeah, it was a bad game. That's just the way to sum it up. The Stars needed to come out, make a statement, even this series up, and they didn't do that. It looked like they might have a shot. They came out early, started strong.
They started,
Yeah, they started really, really strong, and I thought maybe they might run away with this one, and we might be talking about Game 5 with an eye to Game 6. But credit the Lightning for taking advantage of opportunities, and you have to knock the Stars a little bit for being unable to kind of hold on to a lead a couple of times. Things got started early for Dallas. They looked good early. Their first shot of the game didn't come until 7 minutes, 17 seconds in the first period, but on their first shot of the goal, John Klingberg did score a goal, his fourth of the postseason, made it a 1-0 Stars lead on he got his own rebound off of a blocked shot, put it past Andre Vasilevsky, and then about 11 minutes later, a little bit later, but a minute and a half to go in the period, Joe Pavelski finishes off a nice 2-on-1 feed from Jamie Benn. Pavelski gets his 11th of the postseason. Stars were flying high. They were up 2-0. Minute and a half to go in the
first
period.
Two goals on three shots, Kenneth, also.
Yeah, two goals on three shots. They didn't look bad. The three shots was a little bit misleading. They looked pretty good, but obviously two goals on three shots, you think you might be able to run away with one, steal one there. And then with 30 seconds left to go, Braden Point on a very, very, very nice feed from Andre Palat. Braden Point going full speed into the Stars zone, picks up a puck. He's one-on-one with Anton Hudobin, slips it by the Stars netminder on the backhand. He gets his 12th of the postseason. Dallas still led, though, at the end of the first period, 2-1. And it looked like, okay, hit the reset button. You know, you got a late goal that they wish they hadn't given up, and they got a late goal that you shouldn't have given up. You know, so you're even. Still 1-goal lead. Go into the second period. Stars go on an early penalty kill, and we know how good this Tampa Bay Lightning power play is. Braden Point gets his second of the game, 13th of the postseason, 2 minutes, 8 seconds in to the period. Makes it a 2-2 game. The Stars strike back, though. Corey Perry on really a goal that in all facets should be credited to Tyler Seguin. Tyler Seguin got a nice breakaway chance, never gave up on it, was able to feed it backhand off of Andre Vasilevsky's skate and into the crease where Corey Perry put it into an empty net. It was a 3-2 Stars lead, and then once again, the Tampa Bay power play strikes yet again with, a minute and 6 seconds to go in the second period. Yanni Gourde makes it a tied 3-3 game. And Josh, that was really the story of the game, was power play opportunities for the Lightning and their ability to just score at will in the power play.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've got plenty more to talk about regarding this game that we're going to obviously get to throughout this episode. We got plenty of time to go, Kenneth. And I've got nothing but time. I may as well just sleep up here at Fox Sports Southwest, getting ready for the back-to-back Game 5 on Saturday night. But before we get into the key storylines, and there were a lot of them in Game 4 between the Stars and Lightning, just wrapping up that recap, Kenneth, you know, as you said, special teams really were, once again, the difference in this game. Third period comes along, and the Lightning strike, get their first lead of the game. That was the thing. That was one of the storylines, Kenneth. It seemed as though the Lightning had been the better team for the first 40 minutes, and yet the Stars had never trailed in the game going into the third period. And, you know, tied up, then Alex Killorn gets kind of a wonky goal that ends up finding its way past Hudobin, gives Tampa Bay the 4-3 lead. Then just 5 minutes later, Joe Pavelski striking again for his second goal of the night. That would also be his 12th goal of this postseason, Kenneth, making him the highest goal scorer. Let's see if I can get this right here, Kenneth, with there's a lot of words here. The highest goal scoring player at 36 years or older in a playoff year in NHL history. So the first goal actually did it, but the second goal just kind of sweetening the deal, putting Joe Pavelski up to 12 goals overall in this playoff run, also tying him with Joe Mullen for the most playoff goals by an American-born player all time. But at the same time, following the game, you ask Joe Pavelski about that question. He says, keep it, next question. Because, as we saw, you get to overtime, Kevin Shattenkirk scoring the game-winning goal, 6 minutes 34 seconds in on, you guessed it, the power play. Just to kind of also throw some salt in the wound, Kenneth, Victor Hedman and Pat Maroon getting the assists on that game-winning goal, putting the Lightning up 3-1 in this series. But, Kenneth, there's so much to unpack, not only on that power play, but how the Lightning got to that power play. What happened in the minutes before that power play with a power play of their own for the Stars, a 4-on-3 and 5-on-4. There's a lot to get into, Kenneth, here. But at the end of the night, you can't help but walk away from this game wondering what could have been, what, and you know, we've talked about it so many times on this podcast. You play the what-if game so often. It seems like almost on a nightly basis during the playoffs, Kenneth. You play the what-if game of, what if this player had scored here? What if this goalie could have made a save here? The what-if game becomes a constant in this time of year. But at the same time, Kenneth, Game 4 just feels like if the Stars don't find a way back into the series and find a way to lift the cup, 10 years down the road, everyone's going to be pointing at Game 4 was the reason the Stars lost this series. Not the elimination game, not Game 3 where they got blown out. None of it. It was Game 4, that gimme game that was on the ropes for the taking, and the Stars couldn't take it.
Yeah, they they dropped the ball tonight. There's really no way to put it. Other than that, they had opportunities. Obviously, we talked about they had 2 goals on their first 3 shots of the game. Andre Vasilevsky, while he made some very, very brilliant saves, and I know that that lurching save on Nick Mano that would have made it a 4-2 game is probably going to be looked back at as the save that kind of changed the course of the game. Because the Stars scored that, they probably win this game pretty handily. Andre Vasilevsky did not look great early.
No.
His rebound control was not very good. He struggled to track pucks a little bit. The Stars were, you know, even though they weren't necessarily the better of the two teams, were getting consistent chances, were putting those chances away. And then you go into OT and you got bailed out a little bit at the end of regulation. Corey Perry takes a hooking minor that they also nail. Braden Point for embellishment. It should not have been an embellishment call. It should have been a Lightning power play.
No.
But they nail Braden Point for embellishment, so it goes to a 4-on-4. And then at the beginning of OT, Tyler Seguin draws a penalty. You get a 4-on-3 that turns into a 5-on-4. And yet the Stars could not finish it off. Kevin Shattenkirk ends up picking up the winner on, yes, a very soft call on Jamie Benn, but a penalty nonetheless that was called. You got to deal with it. And here we sit, Stars down 3-1, game five on the horizon just 24 hours later, and their backs are against the wall.
Some very sketchy and wonky officiating at times, kind of a very inconsistent game by the officials tonight. Jamie Benn penalty, as you mentioned, Roope Hintz injury, Blake Como's status, goaltending options for game five. We've got a lot left to unpack following this game four loss for the Dallas Stars against Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll get to that right around the corner when Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast. Happy Saturday, everybody, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Hope this podcast finds you as well as it can right now, Kenneth. You know, not going to say this is all sunshine and rainbows here, because we like to stick to the facts, right, Kenneth? We stick to the facts here at the Locked On Stars podcast. And Friday night was as bare bones as it gets, Kenneth, as raw as it gets in terms of emotionally draining games as the Dallas Stars. Whether you're a sports fan, whether you're an athlete, whether you're a head coach, game four was the drainer for the Dallas Stars as they lost 5-4 in overtime to the Tampa Bay Lightning, thus putting themselves in a 3-1 series hole. And as a result, it's win out or go home from here on out, Kenneth. Starting with a game five on Saturday night, quick turnaround for the Stars, which could be good for them. The players talked about that a little bit following the game, how it might be good to get a quick reset, mental reset, get back on the ice. Tyler Seguin said, you know, season's on the line. It's going to be an exciting one. We're ready. We're hungry. The constant, you know, quote was still, the belief is still there. They still have belief. They're going to bounce back. They're going to fight back, claw their way back into the series. But before we can get to game five, Kenneth, and potentially, you know, a game six and game seven, as the Stars are hoping there will be, we got to talk more about game four. We gave you the soft recap in that A block, but if you didn't get to watch the game, or if you missed certain parts of this game, who knows what people do on Friday nights, Kenneth. You know, some of us sit at studios and watch these atrocious games go down, you know, at regional sports network studios. But let's dig into some of the main topics. And I think, you know, there are a number of ways we could go with this, but I think we have to start with special teams, because they once again were the difference in this game. And I just want to throw out a couple quick numbers for you here, Kenneth. On Friday night, the Lightning went 3-for-4 on their power play. That's their best numbers of the series. They're getting better every series. They had 0 power play goals in the first game. I believe they had 1 in the second game, 2 in the third game, and 3 tonight. So they're getting better on the power play with each passing game. Meanwhile, the Stars are now 9-for-15 on the penalty kill in this series and 1-for-14 on the power play. And that's a key storyline in and of itself as to why the Stars are in this 3-1 hole, Kenneth. They just cannot get it done on the man advantage or shorthanded.
Yeah, and you can, it's become a confidence thing. You can feel it as soon as the Lightning get to go on the power play. You can kind of feel it a little bit. You kind of almost expect a goal, and that's how it felt tonight when the Lightning went on that power play in OT. It was kind of like, all right, here we go. The Stars aren't able to stop them for whatever reason now. And it's been arguably the biggest changing, the biggest turning point, the biggest factor in this series, the fact that the Stars have not been able to stay out of the penalty box. And when they take those penalties, they're not able to kill them off, especially in the big moments. Tonight, the Lightning had their way when they were on the power play. They were able to pass it. They were able to set up the shots that they wanted. And then even when they took some of those shots, they got the bounces they needed. That the Yanni Gourde goal, Yanni Gourde goal was a shot from Nikita Kucherov that was blocked, deflected right to Gourde, and Hudobin was out of position. Braden Point gets a deflection on a power play that gets right up around his hands, and he's able to bat it in. You know,
And Shattenkirk's goal finds its way through, I believe it was Esa Lindell's legs.
Yeah.
And blocked her high.
It's frustrating, because I think of all the things, it's hardest for us to sit here and give you an answer as to what they need to change, because the penalty kill is, I mean, it's really a lot of it's just chalked up to effort. I mean, and I'm not saying the guys aren't trying. They are. But there's not a whole lot of resistance when the Lightning are trying to enter the zone. If you watch the difference between a Lightning penalty kill and a Stars penalty kill, the difference between the resistance at the blue line the Lightning put up for the Stars and the resistance the Stars put up for the Lightning is night and day. And then when the Lightning just get to walk into the zone, and we've rattled off numerous times the guys they can stick out there on a power play. When you let those guys walk into the zone and set up their power
and
play
swing
offense,
it around like you've never seen before.
There's not anything you can do about that. And part of it is obviously going to be due to some injuries. And Josh, I know we talked about that the Stars are missing some of their key penalty killers. But at the same time, there still should be an expectation for pretty much anybody on that roster. If I'm Rick Bonus and I need to stick you out there on a penalty kill, I need you to go out there and do a job. And I can tell you one thing, giving up a goal on the power play is one thing. Giving up three goals on four opportunities is unacceptable, and I'm sure that's the message that this team's getting from their coaching staff tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, you put it pretty plainly there. 3-for-4 is not acceptable by any standards against any opponent at any time of year, whether it's game 36 of the regular season or game 4 of the Stanley Cup final. You cannot give up three power play goals and expect to win a game. And, you know, Kenneth, that's been the storyline. Like you said, it's been the storyline. Special teams was the difference in game 2. The Stars took a lot of early penalties. Tampa capitalized on it, built a big enough margin that the Stars could not overcome. Game 3, Tampa capitalizing on their chances. I think they went 2-for-4 on the power play that night and ended up winning the game by a large margin. The Stars, lots of errors in game 3, but penalties still one of the primary errors. And then tonight, 4 penalties, putting the Stars away with 3 of them was the Lightning power play. And that's the story of the series so far. And it's sad because the series is such a short span, Kenneth. You only have 7 games to work with. And if you squander one of them, that's considered a loss. If you squander 2 of them, that's considered unacceptable. And if you squander 3 of them, you're digging your own grave at that point. And that's what we've gotten so far. And it's come from special teams.
Yeah, the special teams is just, it's been bad. And so when you look at the Stars team and you look through and you start to kind of comb through the things that went wrong for them tonight and really over the series, special teams is one area, but it's the one that is compounded, I think, the most when you make those mistakes. Because you look, obviously, you can make a mistake here and there. You can take a bad penalty. But the problem is the penalty kill is, I guess, your last ditch effort to make those mistakes have no kind of repercussions, really. And the Stars are not getting it done. And then you flip the script and you look at their power play. It's been anemic. I mean, it's been bad. Now, the power play, I will say the power play at the beginning of overtime, I thought was not terrible. I thought they had some decent opportunities. But even
Tyler
then,
Sagan
you got to come
look too.
Yeah, yeah, Tyler Sagan had a look. Miro Heiskanen had a good look. But at the end of the day, you know what are good looks worth when you're down 3-1 now? Nothing.
The
They're not working worth
yep.
anything, right?
Yep.
So it's tough because it'd be one thing if they couldn't kill penalties, but they were scoring on power plays themselves, or if they were scoring power, or if they couldn't score on the power play, but they were killing everything off.
Right.
They're not doing either. They're getting utterly dominated in the special teams market, special teams game, and it's very much coming back to bite them. They should have won this game tonight. And if you have a half decent power special teams unit on either side tonight, you do win this game. And yet here you are, you're facing elimination tomorrow night, less than 24 hours.
Yeah, and that's been such a difference maker in this series. As we said, 9-for-15 on the penalty kill, that's 60%. Meanwhile, you know, you're 1-for-14 on the power play in total, Kenneth, and that, you know, translates out to just over 7%, and that can't happen. You know, you have to get something going, and the talk throughout the regular season is, even if your penalty kill is struggling, as long as your power play is evening it out. Even if your power play is struggling, as long as your penalty kill is evening it out. Winning the special teams battle is so crucial during the regular season, it's magnified in the playoffs, and it's showing right now. You know, the Stars' power play came into this series, I think they were clipping at 28 or 29% through the first 3 rounds, and that was winning them hockey games. Now they cannot find a way around that. They cannot find a way to get back to that level, and it is severely hurting them because the Lightning, when they get on the man advantage, they're slinging it around, they're finding options, they're finding opportunities, and they're cashing in. When the Stars get on the power play, they cannot seem to get anything going. It's a continued struggle, and Rick Bonus put it pretty plainly on Zoom following game four, saying, you know, we had the opportunity, didn't capitalize. We got to put the puck in the net. It's as simple as that. Because they had a 4-on-3 for 55 seconds. They had a 5-on-4 for another, I guess, minute five, and cannot get it done. That was this one of the key stories, but also the officiating. And if we have to talk about the officiating, we'll talk about that right around the corner when the Locked On Stars podcast continues in a moment.
Before we step away, though, we've talked about how good Built Bars are, but now they're back and they're even better. They've added 6 new flavors on top of their 12 original flavors. All 18 are amazing, though. Some of the 6 new ones are, I'll just give you all 6 new ones: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. Then you've got your originals: German chocolate, peanut butter, banana bread, mint brownie, salted caramel, double chocolate, just to name a few. These bars are amazing. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft, they're easy to chew, and they're great if you're a health conscious guy that's maybe trying to lose or maintain weight, but you want to indulge in a delicious treat. These bars are low calorie, low sugar, high protein, and high fiber. They're great if you're on the keto diet. Let's run you through one of these flavor profiles, the nutrition stats for the peanut butter flavored bar. 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, 5 grams of sugar, and just 5 grams of net carbs. That's for a bar covered in 100% chocolate. These bars are amazing. And right now, our listeners can go to builtbar.com, use promo code LOCKEDON, and get $10 off their next order of Built Bars. That's promo code LOCKEDON for $10 off at builtbar.com.
Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, wrapping up this Saturday episode, this preview of game 5, which we'll get to in just a minute, but also post game of game 4. Kind of a 2-for-1 deal here, Kenneth, but certainly not a 2-for-1 deal that any Dallas Stars fan probably wants at this moment, especially after what transpired in game 4. Let's shift back for just another minute or two. Let's talk about the officiating, because it was a prime topic of discussion. And it's funny because there's 2 ways you can look at this, Kenneth. You know, Stars fans are going to go back on this series, whether they win or lose, primarily if they lose. If the Stars do not win out, do not claim the Stanley Cup, Stars fans are going to go back 10 years from now, 15 years from now, and say, Game 4 was the turning point in the series, not just Game 4, but a couple minutes into overtime of Game 4 when Jamie Benn was called for tripping against Tyler Johnson. Now, yes, and Kenneth's giving me the air quotes, and rightly so. 5 minutes, 10 seconds into overtime, Jamie Benn called for tripping on Tyler Johnson, called by the trailing referee. I believe it was, if I'm pronouncing the name correctly, Francis Charron.
I think so, yep.
So Kelly Sutherland is the official in front of the play, watching Tyler and Jamie come into the Dallas, or I guess this it was the Tampa zone, coming into the Tampa zone, chasing a loose puck. And what do you say, Kenneth? From the back end, the whistle's blown because there was an assumed tripping call. The assumption was Jamie Benn kicked out Tyler Johnson's skates from under him, and Johnson took a tumble, hit the ice. But meanwhile, this is from the trailing ref. The upfront ref, Kelly Sutherland, watching the play, does not blow his whistle because he did not see a trip. He saw, as Rick Bonus said postgame, 2 guys fighting for a puck. It was a hockey play in the Stanley Cup final. 2 guys fighting for a puck. He even said Tyler Johnson was hooking Jamie Benn. Jamie Benn was trying to fight through the hook, and ends up getting called for a penalty that, now that we saw it on replay, and hindsight's 20/20, of course, for the officials as well, who, as Joe Pavelski said, they have a really tough job. Referees have one of the toughest jobs in the world, especially in big moments like this. But hindsight's 20/20, it wasn't a trip. And to see your captain go to the box and watch as the game winner is scored from the penalty box is just gut-wrenching.
Yeah, it was not a great night for the refs. We can just kind of put it as that. And that went both ways.
Yeah.
There were some iffy calls both ways. We talked about the embellishment call against Braden Point at the end of regulation was an incorrect call. There's really no other way to put it. It should have been just a minor on Corey Perry, and it should have been a power play for the Lightning there at the end of the period, extending into overtime. but as a whole, it was not a great night, and the Stars are going to look at two instances, and fans, I think, are going to look at two instances where there were calls that they think were that were missed pretty badly, and that's going to be the non-call on the trip on Roope Hintz, that sent Roope Hintz shoulder first in the boards. Yeah. He ended up leaving the game.
14-20 in the second period.
Yeah, yep. It was a pretty nasty fall. I'm drawing a blank on who it was now. Was it?
Hey, you want to take? I'll give you three guesses. Yeah,
yeah, it was. That's what I thought, and I, so, I tweeted it out. But they're all kind, they all start to run together a little bit at 1 o'clock in the morning.
It's ironic that Tyler Johnson was involved in two of the biggest, you know, one no call and one that should have been a no call.
Yeah, and so he's fighting with Roope Hintz going to the sidewall. He loses his stick, kind of gets a stick in Rope's feet, loses it. It's on the ice. Roope trips over it, and then they both go into the boards. Roope took it really hard. Looked like shoulder first.
Shoulder first, yeah.
Yeah, hit into the boards. So it was not head first. It kind of looked like that originally. A no call, though. Ref was standing right there. Nothing called.
Should have been a call.
Should have been a tripping minor. Yeah. And this came not that long after, I believe, Jamie Oleksiak had just been hit for a tripping minor. Going the other direction. So that was frustrating. And then obviously the call on Jamie Benn, that really felt like an inevitable, okay, here they go. They're going to score on this power play because that's how it goes, right? You get the call that everybody was on, you know, Stars media members, which are very, I mean, you know, these guys are pretty unbiased guys. They're not Stars fans by any stretch. Yeah. They cover the Stars going, it would be pretty much a joke if the Lightning win on this power play on that call. And so I want to pose this to you, Josh.
Yeah.
This game, more than I think any other game in the postseason, I felt like the outcome was dictated by the fact that this was not in the home team's arena. Because I think if this game is played in the American Airlines Center with Stars fans, I don't think that call is called on Jamie Benn in overtime. I don't think it is.
Yeah, that's fair.
I think the penalty kill is a little bit better than it is, because I think there's an emotional element to killing penalties that comes from you got 20,000 of your screaming fans on their feet every time you know you're able to clear a puck.
Yep.
That's an energy boost, and it gets the other power play antsy when they feel the pressure.
Yeah.
But to me, I watch this and I look at three power play goals for the Lightning. If he calls all night long for them, I mean, going both directions, but if he calls all night long,
right,
the missed call against Roope would not have, that I can tell you right now that arena would not be yelling kind things to those referees after the no call against Roope Hintz. And then after the Jamie Benn call, even if they were to call it, I think the emotional lift that you would get from being in your home arena with your fans and being angry, frustrated, you know, feeling like they got cheated, I think that would have benefited you and been able to kind of counterbalance the fact that you felt like you got a little bit jobbed. So I really do think that. I think if all the games that I think, if you're the Stars, you wish you could pick up and take to Dallas, I think tonight was the game, because I really do think if they're in the American Airlines Center tonight, I think the Stars win, because I think the calls are a little bit better. I think the penalty kill gets a little bit of a lift, and I think there's a little bit more pressure on Tampa Bay on the power play, and they can't just sit there and take their time and kind of tic-tac-toe it until they get the shot they want. I don't know. That's my thoughts.
I agree with you. But at the same time, on the what-if game, if you're saying that...
100%.
And I totally agree with you. If this game were in Dallas, it could have very easily played out differently with how close it was. I mean, Kenneth, it was a one-goal game or a tied game for, I guess, I'm just spitballing off the top of my head, for 55, 57,
yeah, something
58
like that. Yeah,
minutes.
Something,
I mean,
like
there was
that,
only
yeah.
59 seconds separating the Pavelski goal and the Braden Point goal in the first period. So you could even, I guess, at 59 minutes of regulation, it was a one-goal game or a tied game. So with how close this game was, you know, you would like to think that the home team comes out in a close one, especially when overtime comes along. I mean, the first memory you come up with is Game 7 against St. Louis last year, Game 6 against Nashville last year, both on home ice, both closeout games, where it really felt like the energy in the building gave the team a boost.
Yeah, and I would have loved, and this obviously it's 100% a what if, but I would have loved to see that 4-on-3 power play in overtime that switched to a 5-on-4. I would love to see that take place in the American Airlines Center, because that place would have been electric. I think that would have been a boost to the Stars. I think that would have been a an intimidating atmosphere for the Lightning penalty kill.
Yeah,
and I think that would have been very interesting. But, you know, obviously this is a non-factor because they're playing in Edmonton. You know, we know that it's equal playing ground for both these teams.
Yeah.
I'm just curious because I watched this game and I throughout it, I go, if this was in the AAC, if this was in Dallas, like it should have been, barring everything that's gone on, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. That looks better. That doesn't look as bad. I really think that's where that goes. But at the end of the day, they were playing in Edmonton, and the Stars couldn't get it done. So now they got to turn around. They've got another game less than 24 hours later, and now their back's against the wall. It's do or die for them. They've got to show up, and they've got, you know, Josh, I know we're running out of time. I think we got time for a couple of questions right here, but I know I want to at least ask you this, Josh.
Yeah.
I am concerned about the goaltending situation, and I don't envy Rick Bonus because I don't think there's a good answer. I don't think there is.
No,
here are your options, I think. And this is under the assumption that Ben Bishop is could be fit to play, which he wasn't tonight. He wasn't on Wednesday night. So we don't know that he's even going to be fit to play. I would lean towards he's not because we don't have any indication he would be. But your options right now are probably a not 100% Ben Bishop if he's even able to go. Jake Oettinger, which is a non-factor. You're not doing that. But Jake Oettinger, who's a rookie who's played all of, 40 minutes of NHL hockey, and Anton Khudobin, who at one point before before OT had a save percentage of, I believe, .864 since the start of Game 2. Anton Khudobin did not look very good tonight. So, Josh, I'm curious what you think. Is there an answer to this, or do you just have to kind of suck it up and go, we got to roll with what we've got?
I mean, there's no, at this point, there's no great answer because you either have, like you said, a goalie that has not played in a month that also has historically struggled against his former team in Ben Bishop. You have Anton Khudobin, who has looked subpar for the past three games after being heroic and dominant at times through the first three rounds. Has looked relatively subpar. I mean, you could point to the third period of game one being great.
He looks tired to me. He looks tired.
And he's starting to look like he's losing confidence in himself.
Yeah.
I think one of the biggest things with Khudobin through the first few rounds was he looked confident. He looked like in his mind, he was telling himself, I'm going to stop these shots. I'm going to be a difference maker when I need to be and if I need to be. And I'm going to lead my team to a win. I haven't seen that, and I don't think many Stars fans have seen that the past few games. The Lightning continue to pick that high blocker side. He's having trouble adapting. He's having trouble responding to these shots and to these attacks, especially by the Tampa power play. And as a result, that's a tough ask, especially on a back-to-back with your season on the line. And then you have Jake Oettinger, who's played 40 minutes, has made 8 saves, and his only action has been against teams that are parking the bus, that are up 3 goals, 4 goals at the time that he steps into the game.
It's not going to happen. So anybody listening to this, let me get out front. Jake Oettinger is not starting Game 5.
And
but what a call that would be from Rick Bonus if he did make that.
Hey, you know what? Let's put this out on the line, too. With how much of a storybook this Dallas Stars postseason run has been, what do you think about putting Jake Oettinger in net and getting 3 straight wins from him, 2 shutouts, Kenneth? 95 total saves over the next 3 games. Stars win out and take the cup. What a story that would be, huh?
You'd have to give him the Conn Smythe, wouldn't you?
I would think so.
Even though he just started 3 games,
you'd have to give it to him. He saved the season. But anyways, back to reality here for a minute. I think it is
going to be Anton Khudobin. I think it is going to be Anton
Khudobin. Well, the thing
Khudobin.
Is, I don't know. We don't know about Ben Bishop. He's been practicing for what seems like weeks. All the days kind of blend together, but it seems like weeks now, Kenneth, that he's been practicing with the team and yet still unfit to play. Not sure just what that means his injury is or what it might be, but at this point, when your season's on the line, putting a goalie in that's been cold for a month and that when he got back in for the first time after missing extensive time, was not a pretty sight against Colorado in Game 5.
Yeah, I look at it this way, and we don't know. This decision may be made for Rick Bonus. He may not have Ben Bishop to even look at and consider. But it goes one of two ways. You keep going with Anton Khudobin, and you go, hopefully he regains that magic. He looks tired. And our guys in front of him have got to step it up. They've got to be better. They've got to limit opportunities. Let him rest, frankly, rest during the game, and not put him under quite so much pressure. Or if Ben Bishop's good to go, if you make that move, you're operating under the understanding that I don't think this is maybe the best move in terms of goaltending, but having Ben Bishop back hopefully would be an emotional boost to everybody else, just a kind of a supercharge. Here we go. This is our guy.
Stamkos factor. Yeah,
exactly. And just hope he can put it together enough and that he can energize everybody else. And that's, frankly, that's talk about a rock and a hard place. That's not good decisions to have.
No.
But it's got to be addressed, because I thought this was the worst I've seen Anton Hudobin look this, maybe in this postseason. Even on some of his saves, he didn't look great. But he looked tired. That on the Nikita Kucherov shot on the power play that led to the Andre Palat? Did I get that right or did I read that wrong? I feel like I just read that wrong. Yanni Gourde.
Gourde's power play.
Anton Hudobin was late to the Kucherov shot.
He looked scrambly a little bit.
He looked tired, and he looked like he was reacting a lot, where we've seen him be very proactive in the crease during this series, and he looked very much like he was trying to react. And so that's the question: is do you feel like you can ride him for another game? And because you got to win. I mean, there's no hey, we can, well, let's take a risk. You got to win, regardless of who you put out there.
Yeah, and I think, Kenneth, we have to look at this now from a different lens, because obviously this is the first time the Stars have necessarily faced elimination in this postseason in this fashion. Obviously, Colorado, there was a Game 7 in that second-round series, but you look at the three teams that the Stars have put on the chopping block so far, and in their games, in the elimination games, they've put up a stellar effort. Obviously, Calgary's effort was incredible for 15 minutes, and then it fell off because the Stars just overwhelmed them, overpowered them. Second round, Colorado puts together two impressive back-to-back performances to force a Game 7. Vegas has a 2-0 lead late in the third period of Game 5 before the Stars just get a power play goal, put another one by him, and then score the game winner on the power play of Denis Gurianov. So now the Stars are in those shoes, trying to give their best game, knowing that this could be their last hockey game for months, Kenneth. We're not sure when the next season's going to start yet. It's all on the line here. As Rick Bonus has said many a time, you don't know when you're going to get back to the Stanley Cup final. It's been a long time. I think we did the math a little while ago. The last time a team lost the Stanley Cup final and got back the next year was 11 years ago. And so it's not common to go to the Stanley Cup final multiple years in a row, especially after losing. It's one thing to go and defend your title in back-to-back years, but it's another thing to lose and bounce back from that emotional drain and get back in the next season. So everything's on the line. Tyler, everybody seems amped up, Kenneth. The questions were asked post-game, and it was, we got a new game tomorrow, today's history, get ready for tomorrow, get ready to bounce back. Rick Bonus saying, I have full faith that our team's going to bounce back, our team's going to fight back, and we're going to get a win tomorrow. Tyler Seguin saying, I'm losing my quote here. I scribbled a bunch of quotes here on my notepad. It's late. But Seguin saying, it's going to be exciting. You know, our season's on the line. It's going to be exciting tomorrow. We're going to bring our best effort. And that's what the Stars need. Like you said, goaltending is an issue. You're losing a lot of bodies here. Roope Hintz, don't know what his status will be. Blake Como was a game-time decision, didn't play for the second straight game tonight. Don't know what his status is. Radek Faksa, I'm assuming done for the series. Steven Johns, I'm assuming done for the series. Ben Bishop, maybe done for the series. We're not sure just yet. But based on practice analysis, video clips that we've seen, and knowing the statuses of players, it seems like Blake Como is a possibility for tomorrow. Roope Hintz, don't know the extent of his injury yet. But if you're missing three of your top seven penalty killers, Kenneth, in terms of time on ice, going into Friday night, your top seven forwards on the penalty kill were Blake Como, Matthias Janmark, Jason Dickinson, Radek Faksa, Andrew Cogliano, Joe Pavelski, and Roope Hintz. So that's now 1, 4, and 7 forwards in terms of ice time are not healthy at the moment, or fit to play at the moment, at least as we're recording this on Saturday morning at 1 a.m. It's a tough ask, Kenneth. It is the toughest game of the season, because not only what's at stake, but the situation you've been dropped into with how things have progressed throughout the series. But you got to get your best effort regardless.
Yeah, I thought Sean Shapiro had a very poignant tweet when he said, Blake Como being out is a classic example of not realizing how much you need a guy until he's not there.
Yep.
This team is desperate. If there's a guy that you could probably handpick and bring back into this lineup and say he's fully ready to go, I think I would say that it would be Blake Como. I think that's the guy you need.
Five power play goals for Tampa Bay in the last two games, Kenneth.
Your
top penalty killer. No, your top penalty killer in Blake Como had skated 50 minutes of shorthanded time before getting injured throughout this playoffs.
Yeah, I think it's that, and then also what was your most consistent line? We talked about this Wednesday. Your checking line is not anymore, and that's because you're down Radek Foxy, you're down Blake Como.
Right.
You could get Blake Como back, which he might be able to go Friday, Saturday. Pardon me. I think that would be an incredible boost to this team. But you know, the fact of the matter is they've got to win three straight, and you look at it, you know, the players are going to tell you, you know, we got to take it one game at a time. But the realistic way to think about it is, there, you got to look long term and realize what you got to do. So you got to be able to break it down and go, okay, we don't have to win three straight. We've got to win two straight. We got to get back to an even series, get it to a game seven, and then anything can happen in a game seven. That's how I'm kind of looking at it. If you're looking at it as a fan trying to stay optimistic, you don't have to win three straight yet. You just got to win a couple. You got to win back-to-back games, get it to the game seven, and that's just a one-off game. That's anything can happen, winner takes all. So it's going to be an interesting one. Well, I'm interested to see the energy. I think it could be very, very good for the Stars or very, very bad. I don't think there's going to be an in-between. I really don't see tomorrow being a close game. I'm going to be really honest. I think the Stars come out buzzing, and they can kind of put their foot on the gas and get back in this one. Or I think the Lightning come out and kind of put the foot on the throat a little bit and end it quickly. So I think, Josh, we are well over time.
But that's okay.
I'm not even going to give it back to you.
I need to say my final thoughts.
I was just going to do my normal final things, and then you could wrap up.
Okay, fine. All right, go ahead.
I was going to give it back to you to give it back to me, but now we've wasted all the time. Anyways, make sure to just hit subscribe wherever you listen to the podcast so we show up in your feed every day. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnStars, at Kenneth_Nash19, and at Josh_Clark02. And if you haven't, go leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. If you hit us with a 5-star review and a question, we will look to answer that on the podcast. And, you know, who knows? We may have a lot of time on our hand after tomorrow night. Hopefully not.
We may have a lot of time to talk about Game 6 then. You know, you got to keep your hopes high here. It's the playoffs. Anything can happen. But more than anything, this Game 5 tomorrow, or rather Saturday night, offers the Stars a chance to emotionally rebound. Obviously, Game 4 being a bit of a nightmare scenario. You know, you lose Roope Hintz, you have a 2-0 lead early, special teams once again playing a significant difference. Certainly not the boost that the Stars were hoping for in Game 4 to knot the series up. Now they find themselves in a 3-1 hole, and it's time to bounce back, win or go home. Backs against the wall, and it'll be a fun one. You know, Kenneth, as you mentioned, it could go either way. For the Lightning, this is the toughest game of any playoff series to win. For the Stars, just trying to chip away, get one win tomorrow night, or rather Saturday night. I keep saying tomorrow night, even though it's technically already Saturday. It's 1:17 a.m. now. But anyways, just try and get that win, get it to 3-2, get to the next week, be ready for Monday, and try and bounce back to even this series up, force a Game 7. But until then, just focus on Game 5. That's the biggest thing. Just take it one game at a time. As Sagan said, it's going to be exciting. As John Klingberg said, to Friday's history, all we have is a game tomorrow that we're focusing on. Corey Perry said it should be good to give a quick turnaround, try and get this game out of their system, bounce back, get it to 3-2, and work your way from there. But until then, final stat line since 1939, teams with a 3-1 series lead in the Stanley Cup Final are 33-1 overall at winning the Cup. The one exception was in 1942 when the Maple Leafs fell behind 3-0 to the Detroit Red Wings and won 4 straight to win the series. Also, a team has won game four to take a 3-1 series lead in the final on 27 occasions since it became a best of seven, and they've won the cup all 27 times. But now it's up to the Stars to make that 33-2 and make that 27-1. We'll see if they can get it done on Saturday night, starting Saturday night, rather. Game 5, Dallas Stars, Tampa Bay Lightning, NBC at 7 p.m. Make sure to tune in. Should be a fun one as the Stars try to stave off elimination and keep their season and their magical playoff run alive. It's been a storybook so far. We'll see if they've got one more chapter to write. Until then, stay safe and stay healthy. We'll talk to you soon.
Your Locked On Stars, your daily podcast on the Dallas Stars. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.